Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Aditi was in Cincinnati, so that means she got back to Pittsburgh in time to watch the last Steelers game from the Kinkabwala Estate. And we always like to start these interviews by asking, what was the vibe like? You are surrounded by a Steelers-loving husband and his Steelers-loving extended family. So what was it like watching that game and breaking down that game in that environment, Aditi?
Let's just say that I was not appreciated yesterday. I don't know what to say other than he was very angry. He was very upset and very, very sad. And whereas I try to have, or not try to, but I can have a somewhat removed take on all of this because obviously I'm not invested in anybody's laundry. He was just really sad.
And wouldn't it be nice if he helped out with the laundry a little bit more, Aditi?
Have we already had this conversation?
The laundry is never ending. You do a batch and there's just a full basket 20 minutes later. It's just, it never ends.
I do laundry every single day. I have no idea why there is so much dirty
did
laundry
he ever pull
in my
the
house.
Did he ever pull the trick where you asked him to do the laundry and he did an intentionally bad enough job the first time that he knew you would never ask him again?
Veteran move.
So our first year together, our first year married, I was traveling constantly. The Steelers were 8-8, so I was sent on the road everywhere. And I remember being on the road for 5 days. I came home like late on a Wednesday night and I had a flight on Thursday. So I loaded the laundry Wednesday. I was falling asleep and I said, can you just please do me a favor and take the whites and put them in the dryer? This is what I said. And he said, okay, yeah, sure. So the next morning he's in the shower and he yells to me, he says, hey, can you get me a towel? And the towels were white. So I go to the dryer to get the towels. There are whites in the dryer. The dryer has never been turned on.
Oh,
so when I went to him and I said, you never ran the dryer. He said, you didn't tell me to turn it on. You just told me to put them in the dryer.
How is that possible? How is that real life?
Was he raised in a barn?
Engineer, by the way, this is a Pitt degree for you.
Well,
this is a Pitt school, whatever the school of engineering.
Hey, honey, put the whites in the dryer, but definitively do not turn it on. You have to tell me that step, or else I won't do
that's
it.
That's Amanda's favorite thing to go to with me. She goes, "You have great book smarts and absolutely zero common sense." If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I wouldn't have to do this show anymore.
I mean, this is 10 years later. And so, you know what? I love that you guys are making me remember this because last night I did go to bed feeling a little bit guilty and I had to apologize to him and say, you know, I'm sorry. I recognize that this is incredibly emotional for you. I don't mean to be so dispassionate about something we all saw coming. But now that you reminded me of this story, I don't feel so bad.
Did he not see it coming? Like, that was the other thing. You said
he thought he was going to have a Bettis send-off?
Yeah, you said he was very upset.
Oh, my God.
Oh, then you might want to check to make sure he's not delusional.
Well, I was just going to say, do you not think that there is a segment of every single fan base that's a little bit delusional?
I think
part of being a fan is having
fanatic.
Hope.
Yep. You're thinking with your heart, not your head.
But you know what, Aditi?
Exactly.
But you know what? I felt like going – now, obviously, I was not part of that segment of the Steelers fan base or even the people that predicted
it was the close game club of which I was a card-carrying member.
Pony was like the standard bearer of – and Ryan Clark did this. He talked about it with us. He said it on ESPN. It's like a lot of people, I think, wanted to believe that it could be a close game, but I think there was enough understanding of what they were up against in that game that almost nobody could actually go over the line and pick them, which is why I'm just a little surprised. Even with, yeah, part of being a fan is being kind of irrational and not caring.
Yes, but I think that this year especially, guys, has been so bizarre. I mean, I was in the Cincinnati press box talking to a Bills scout who was there scouting, and I was kind of like, why are you here? And it was just this idea that if the Steelers had beaten Kansas City, then the Steelers would go to Tennessee and the Bengals would go to Buffalo, and that's why he was there. And I just said, yeah, but you don't really think the Steelers are beating Kansas City. And he was like, have you paid attention all year? Because again, how many crazy things have happened this season that completely defy logic?
Yep.
And there was a piece of that. You know, if the Steelers defense came out playing unbelievably strong, which it did, if they could force a turnover, which they did, if they could convert that into points, which they did, and if the Steelers offense could somehow run the ball, control the clock, bleed the clock, keep the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, then maybe it could have been a close game. And in a close game, anything crazy could happen. You saw that with the Steelers and the Titans. I mean, you did, right?
Yep.
No, you did. I just...
So it wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
So,
I mean, was it grossly possible? No, but it was possible.
So you just pushed us into the conversation where we heard Ben at the top of this hour talk about how the offense didn't do anything. And this whole chicken or the egg argument with Roethlisberger specifically, why does it Collinsworth is going on and on about it. Why does it take so long for him to start to make plays happen? He's 24 of 30 with two touchdowns in the second half. He looks so much different in the no huddle. Juju's going on and on about that after the game. And they wanted the ball, and they didn't do anything unique or creative when they had it. So my question is to Didi, like, when you're doing an autopsy on this season, like, how much of it is coaching and how much of it is the players offensively?
It feels a little bit like a chicken and an egg, right?
That's why I started with that. The chicken or the egg.
Yeah, because Matt Canada has taken so much heat. You know, everything that I've always been told is that the best coaches tailor what they do to the players that they have. And so on the one hand, you want to sit here and say, okay, look, the way that the game is changing is that you need a quarterback that's got some sort of mobility, especially with the way pass rushers are now. You need a quarterback who can elude that, who can move around. And the Steelers just haven't had that. So it's not only about Matt Canada and his offense. It's kind of the game in general. And how many times this year have we heard Mike Tomlin talk about studying mobility of quarterbacks? And that's what he did during the bye.
Yep.
And that's what he's trying to assess. So in that sense, yeah, of course, Matt Canada and this offense were hamstrung to some degree by the physical abilities of the quarterback that they had. But hey, this is the organization that didn't have a better plan than a 39-year-old quarterback who couldn't move anymore. And don't the best coaches figure out how to get the most out of what they have? And why, you know, even Ben Roethlisberger is saying Kendrick Green would have been better at guard. Well, then why did it take, 15 games to get to that? Oof. What, you know, it's too easy to say it's this one thing. It's not. I think it's a confluence of a lot of things. And I saw, you asked earlier, right, Pony, is this a successful season?
Did they have a good year? Just pretty simple. Yes or no?
Okay.
Did they have a good year?
And what is your take on that?
My answer is no, they didn't.
And Mulzy, what's your answer?
No, they didn't, because I never wanted to see this season take the shape that it did, i.e. with Roethlisberger back and everything else. I'm still holding a grudge from the fact that they did not.
They had
reboot.
A blah season. I'm not holding a grudge. They just were blah.
And I'm the grudge holder here.
And blah to me, or eh, or average, or okay, is not good.
Well, and especially when you are the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, look, if you were the Cleveland Browns and you don't go to the playoffs regularly and you somehow gut out enough wins to back into the playoffs and you get a playoff berth, okay, that could be a mark of success. But if you were the Pittsburgh Steelers, where your head coach, Mike Tomlin, says that he is doing nothing but hunting Lombardi trophies, then what was successful about this? There was no inspiring play. There was nothing that made you feel like this is a team that could go on to dominance. There was quite a lot of ugly football, really ugly football. And you back into the playoffs and you lose in the first round. You're embarrassed in the first round. Sure, for some teams, making the playoffs is a success. It's not to Mike Tomlin. I'll never forget. It was my second season and the Steelers started 0-4.
Yep.
And then they somehow finish 8-8. And I said something to Mike Tomlin at the end of the season, the postseason press conference, about feeling good about the way that the team turned things around or the way that the team righted its ship. And I remember he clapped right back at me and said, "That's not successful. That's not good." I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was basically him telling me, "Don't you dare frame 8-8 after an 0-4 start as success, because that's not what we look for in the city of Pittsburgh."
Well, how things have changed then, because he was the guy, after the Ravens game, saying, "You guys all threw us out with the trash, basically. All you guys buried us after we started 1-3.
And he took a victory lap after
that game.
He
sure was crowing for 9-7-1.
That begs a bigger question. Where are the standards right now? How long has it been since the Steelers have won a playoff game?
It's been
5 years.
How long
has it been since you thought that the Steelers were a contender for a Super Bowl?
It's funny that you brought up the Browns as an example, because the first thing my mind flashed to when you said for them 9-7-1 and getting blown out might still be something that's good because of their team's history, all I could think of was last night's game is simply now the longest drought without a playoff win for the Steelers since the merger.
And the longest in the division now. The Browns, Bengals, and Ravens have now all won playoff games more recently than the Steelers. Does that manifest itself in any ways this offseason? You know, we were debating this, Aditi, earlier in the show. Colbert's going to be gone. Ben's going to be gone. It just feels like Tomlin is going to get even more power this offseason. And I'm not convinced that's a good thing for them moving forward, that he's now going to be the alpha male and the top dog almost by himself in this organization in terms of tenure.
This is why when people talk about the general manager thing, Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin have worked in concert together for so long. You're not going to bring in somebody who's going to ever override or overrule Mike Tomlin. You know, it's going to be somebody that obviously he has a ton of say. They do everything together. His fingerprints are all over every single piece of this club. And so it's to your point, not my point, but you made the point earlier that he's the one that elevated this offensive coordinator. He's the one that elevated the offensive line coach who ultimately left. He's the one who's running the defense. He's the one who has every bit of say in what player comes or doesn't. You know, the situation we saw in Miami, where Brian Flores and Chris Greer had, you know, essentially a power struggle over who the quarterback should be. That's never happened here. Mike Tomlin hasn't been,
Donahoe and Cower.
So like no one is handing Mike Tomlin a player he doesn't want. Nobody is shoving a player down Mike Tomlin's throat that he doesn't want.
Well, then there's a lot of reason to question the players that he does want, because a lot of them seem not great, to be kind.
Like?
I don't know.
The linebacker that they traded up to the 10th spot to get?
The guard that they drafted in the third round and then said, "Don't worry, you can be a starting center from day one."
You know, I wish I was smarter. You talk about Devin Bush and the knee surgery. So obviously I was in Cincinnati this week, and the biggest difference in Joe Burrow from week one of this season to right now is the way that he's moving. And, you know, there is definitely more mobility. He's definitely more comfortable moving. It's the way he eludes the rush. It's the way he rolls out. It's the way he scrambles. It's all of that. And he is 13 months removed, 13 months removed from having his ACL and MCL completely repaired. Both were totally destroyed last December. And you see the way he's moving. And I get it that quarterback movement is not the same as linebacker movement. Mm-hmm. But Devin Bush, before he was hurt, his sideline to sideline speed, while not Ryan Shazier, it was obviously incredibly notable. His nimbleness, his quickness, all of that counted for, you know, it's part of what elevated his game to some degree. And we just haven't seen that. And I'm not, again, I don't know the answer to this. And I'd love to ask someone. Everybody heals differently, obviously, but you see how someone comes off of surgery, you know, in 13 months, and then you look at somebody else and it's been 15 months. And does it have to do with the movement required at the position? Does it have to do with the way the surgery was performed? Does it have to do with the rehab? I don't know. And I know that we spent a lot of the first part of the season saying, well, Devin Bush came off of a major surgery and Devin Bush is still recovering and he's still rehabbing and he's still, you know, not fully 100%, but at what point do we say that you should be, had it been a successful surgery and a successful rehab?
Are you one of the insiders who thinks that there will be either a legitimate retirement or a quote-unquote retirement from Keith Butler? Because all of a sudden in the last week, like every single Steelers insider we've talked to has hinted at that.
No, my expectation is that Keith Butler retires. He is turning 65. He has put in 60 years, 59, I think, in the game of football, playing it, coaching it, all of that. I think that he has grandchildren. He has a home in Tennessee. I think that he has given the game so much, and that his family is ready for him to come home.
So you know what that means, Mosey? They'll just promote Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, and Mike Tomlin will just keep calling the plays.
But okay, so two things here. Terrell Austin interviewed for a defensive coordinator job in Tennessee last year or the year before. I can't remember. The time is eluding me. But Mike Vrabel calls the defensive plays there. And I do know at the time that TA was not going to leave to be a DC where he didn't get to design and install and run the defense. So that's not necessarily a, okay, yes, anybody would be fine with the title. But number two, TA is a tremendous coach. Terrell Austin is one of the best coaches on that staff. Terrell Austin is somebody that I believe should be a head coach in the National Football League. You know, these things come in waves. He did interview for head coaching jobs. I remember when, and again, we'll go back to my husband, a Pitt grad. TA is a Pitt grad. Matt desperately wanted TA to be the head coach at Pitt. I think this was after Graham, maybe. But TA was doing NFL head coaching interviews at the time. TA is a great coach, and that's not just merely a lazy elevation, the way that we have kind of talked about some other promotions within the staff, where we're like, okay, great. Are you even looking? Are you even talking to people? Are you even exploring? In this situation, you've got a tremendous coach on your staff that players really, really respond to, who's an unbelievably bright and sharp mind. I think the only caveat is, you know, how much. It keeps coming back to this. And look, I'm consistent on this. I say this about Kevin Stefanski all the time. I don't think he should call the plays in Cleveland. I think Alex Van Pelt should call the plays. And I think Kevin Stefanski should be the CEO and have kind of that 30,000 foot view. And so similarly, you know, we know that Mike Tomlin likes calling the defense. We know that that's what he wants to do. I would love to see maybe somebody else run the defense. And Mike Tomlin, because he is indeed a tremendous leader and a tremendous overseer of everything, oversee everything, coach the coaches. That's what they used to say about Tom Coughlin. And Tom Coughlin coached the coaches, and he let his coaches coach the players.
Unless a player had the audacity to show up 7 minutes early for a meeting, in which case he came down with the hammer of Thor.
No, you just had to be 5 minutes early. Okay. You just had to be five. So if you were 4 minutes early, and your side and your feet had to be on the floor, and you had to wear the right kind of socks, and
so wait, you couldn't like cross one leg casually over the other during a meeting?
Oh no, he would have cut Zach Banner for walking on the field barefoot pregame.
Hey, he's a fellow Syracuse grad. Aren't you supposed to be looking?
Oh, I love Coughlin.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.